We do not have a paper copy yet. I'm optimistic that we'll hopefully get something this week, but we're still waiting to see the final details on it. But, you know, I'm going to still take the president at his word. I know he's worked really hard to help make our farmers and the biofuels industry whole, and so I look forward to seeing and writing the agreement that we verbally came to. Well, you know, I mean, we're hoping that we'll get something this week. So and here's the point that I've made to them at every time I've talked to whoever it is on the team is the fact that we have ethanol plants and biodiesel plants idling on a weekly basis. And as we head into October, it's really critical that we get some certainty on this, and that'll have a big impact on the industry moving forward. So they know that it's critical. You know, they had the meeting at the UN. They were working on a Japan free trade agreement. So there have been some other things that Kudlow and the team have been working on. So hopefully that's done, and now we can move into this. Yeah, well, they're still we plan to invest in, and they're still formulating what that is. Of course, USDA has given us some recommendations, but we have a very manual process right now that we're utilizing, and so I believe that the money that they've allowed us to keep needs to go into technology and really innovation so that we, on an aggregate basis, can better utilize the data so that we are making better determinations on who qualifies and who doesn't. So we're really looking at IT and an IT strategy across all agencies, but it just goes to prove our point, I think, how important it is that we are able to make good decisions based on real-time data and really streamlining the process. And they're working on that, so that's where a lot of that will probably go to. No, you know, the trial has not wrapped up yet. There's still some things that they're working on, so we'll be making that decision after the trial ends up. Yeah. Well, we have already held a couple of roundtables with all of the stakeholders. We've been working with all of the major hospitals. We've been working with the University of Iowa, my team has. So we've already held at least one, if not two, stakeholder meetings to try to take a look at what we can do to start to address really healthcare in rural Iowa. So there's some things that we're looking at. We're getting feedback, and hopefully our goal is to either kind of firm up what that working group looks like and hopefully come with some recommendations for this next legislative session. But really, we need to look at rural healthcare as a whole. Technology, again, is going to play, telehealth is going to play a big role in that. That's a component of this as well, and we've reached out to some of the groups regarding that. So hopefully we'll have some better ideas or a better direction that we plan on going on, better direction to head into the legislative session. Well, it's not just having the money, Caroline, it's they don't have people. And so that's really impacting. It's the number of people that they serve, and they can't figure out a way to cost flow it. And so, again, that goes back to empowering rural Iowa. That goes back to making sure that we have the workforce to meet the needs of companies and employers throughout the state of Iowa. So all of this really fits together. If we have broadband, if we have, you know, the capacity that we need, we can take advantage of telehealth. If we're working on Future Ready Iowa and partnering with high schools and companies, we're helping build relationships and keep them locally, so they'll have their families there. So that will not only impact our main streets and schools, but also our healthcare system too. So those are all part of the discussion that we're working on over the interim. Yeah. Well, I think it's alarming what we're continuing to see in the increase in the number of cases. And so we continue to work with the Iowa Department of Public Health to collect the data. I think a majority of the cases that have happened in Iowa are tied to use with THC. So that's a significant concern. That's, you know, illegal. And so we're continuing to gather the data, and we'll be sitting down with Garrett and really talk about what we need to do moving forward. But in the interim, what we can do is to really help raise awareness and educate Iowans on the dangers that we're seeing that are associated with vaping. So while we're gathering data and talking about how we move forward with this, we have a responsibility to inform the public, not only at the state level, but they're also doing that at the federal level as well. Yeah, I see that. I think Ohio was the most recent that just did that. I think they did Juuls, maybe a band though. So we're taking a look at all of that, monitoring the fatalities. We want to get in front of it. So as I said, it's really important that we get the word out and educate our young people that the increases that we're seeing in people using, especially young people, is concerning to see the growth in a really short time frame. So we need to make sure that we're letting them know what the consequences are, the dangers, and then continue to see what we can do moving forward. Yep. Well, you know, that's a caucus decision, so we'll let them make that decision. But I want to just start by saying, just thanking Speaker Utmeyer for her remarkable service to the state of Iowa. She has been a great public service, tenacious legislator and leader, and we had a great working relationship, great communication back and forth, which doesn't mean you agree on everything, but we are able to sit down and really talk through things and talk about priorities and how we can continue to move the state forward. So, you know, that collectively, we've worked very well with both bodies. And, excuse me, to be quite clear, I don't see that changing. You know, we have to be respectful and listen and figure out collectively what we think we can do to move the state forward. But I would reiterate also that a lot of the big pieces of legislation that we passed unanimously, and so there's a role for all legislators to work together and find common ground and policies that will continue to provide employers with the workforce, make sure we have integrated, coordinated healthcare system, make sure that we're finding the gaps in the mental health delivery system that we're putting in place, and continue to make sure kids have every opportunity to be successful in this very disruptive economy that we're in. Okay. Well, I said last week, you know, the economy. So let's get U.S. You can do two things at once. We're able to do that here in Iowa. We know how to multitask. So, you know, let's get USMCA ratified. Let's get it to the floor. Let's take a vote. Let's provide some stability and predictability for families, farmers, manufacturers, small businesses. You know, as we're starting to see a little bit of a softening in the economy, this is something they can do immediately that would have a big impact, I think. The free trade agreement with Japan was a big step in the right direction. Hopefully we'll hear something with the biofuels this week or very soon. That'll be also positive momentum. You know, really until they take a vote, and I know what they're accusing him of, I don't think there's anything there. So there's procedures that they have to follow, and I'm not sure that's been followed yet. And so, you know, right now I'm not going to weigh in because they've taken a vote, and what are the charges that they're accusing him of? Yep. Well, you know, I mean, that's why they're doing an investigation based on the allegations that they've heard. So we're going to hold and not allocate any of the incentives until the investigation is finalized and we understand, first of all, if that took place and how they are reacting to the allegations that they've been accused of. So we'll wait and see what they're doing. But in the interim, we've put a hold on any of the tax or any of the state incentive payments that have been awarded to the company. Yeah, well, we'll do the same thing that we do every year when it comes to K-12 pre-K-12 education and education in general. It's been a priority of mine since I became Lieutenant Governor and certainly as governor, and I'm proud of the record investments that we have made in education. But you know, it is really about making sure that we're preparing our young people to be continuous learners and making sure that we're preparing them for the jobs of today and jobs of tomorrow. And that is a very diverse pathway. And so we're investing in workforce, we're investing in work-based learning opportunities, we're investing in education, and I'm proud of what we've been able to do. But you got to be really careful about measuring the quality of education based on the sheer number of dollars that you put into it. But I am proud to say, again, that we have record investments in pre-K 12 education, and I'm proud of what we've been able to do to really make sure that our young kids are successful and competitive.